Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Rock and roll, people.
Rock and roll. Hello. How is everybody today?
I'm pretty good. Mr. Johnson, how are you?
I'm really good. I'm relaxed because I was away for a while.
Oh, right. Nice. Where'd you go?
We went to the Barossa Valley.
Oh, nice.
And my wife convinced me that jumping on a bike and drinking wine all day was an absolutely amazing idea.
Great.
So we went around the Barossa on bikes.
Nice.
Was that good?
It was great.
Were you kid-free?
You've had a few, yeah, we were kid-free. So it was one of those vacations. It's been a while since we've been kid-free. So
yeah.
Like, this is either going to be a re-engagement in the relationship or terribly awkward. It was the former. That was good. But and then my wife wanting to make it nice and active. We did a few walks in the rain, and then we hired the bikes on the non-rainy days. And
that's good.
Did you get any good wines?
We got a lot of wines because once we worked there,
it was
can
more
ship
about
it.
The quantity. By the
yeah,
sounds.
It was once we worked there. I don't even drink wine outside of these trips. So but once my wife worked it, she could send it back to Perth without us carrying it around. That's when, you know, 4 bottles, 6 bottles, 12 bottles.
Right.
I counted it up. I was like, I reckon there's about 30 bottles on their way back to Perth. And she's like, no, we didn't buy that many. I'm like, yeah, we did.
That's good. It's good to have a break, hey, and re-engage.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Oh, just that's
being
good.
Totally offline. We had some amazing accommodation and, yeah, the Barossa Valley is
beautiful.
That's great. Yeah.
Really nice.
It's beautiful. But valley, yeah, stand, like I'll work this out on the bike, what it means. It's a very beautiful way of saying hills.
But there's some really scenic, picturesque, it's rolling, undulating hills. It's just, yeah. It's fantastic. So they produce some awesome wines. You get any good Pinots?
It's more the Grenache. The
oh, nice, because okay.
The Grenache is nice too.
Yeah. They didn't have a lot of Pinots there, to be honest.
Right.
Because that's kind of usually, if I'm going to drink, that'll be the one I do.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Welcome to the wine podcast.
There we go. It's not beers and business.
It's wine and business.
Business,
exactly.
And business. I did have some amazing beer there too.
Did you? So, oh, that's good. Okay, well, what were we going to talk about today? What have you noticed? What you were talking about before, what have you noticed?
Yeah, look, I think it's a time to kind of get prepared. Like we've been talking, obviously, for 3 years about the pandemic and what's happening there. And I've been telling all my business clients, like, our pandemic is just starting. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's on its way. And what we're going to, you know, what we're going to face isn't going to be like, you know, the one that happened in the health industry, right? Like the health industry, this thing comes along and everybody wants to, you know, get a vaccination, find a way to, you know, protect themselves from it. There'll be no protecting yourself from it in business. There's no vaccination for this one. It's coming and it's going to clear out the herd.
So what do you think? Why do you think that the pandemic in terms of business hasn't happened yet and is coming?
Because we floated the economy, right? We printed money. We bailed people out. We allowed them to, not change the business. We allowed them to keep doing what they've been doing all along. They haven't had to adjust to, you know, what's coming.
Right.
And, that's why we talked a fair time back about, you know, knowing the most important number in your business and why you need to know that, because, you know, most people are blind to actually what was happening in their business.
Right.
And they are going to face it over the next little while. It's estimated about 25% of all industries are going to lose businesses, but 25% of the businesses of all industries are going to not make it through this mm-hmm. recession,
really?
Quote unquote recession period. And look, you got to decide which part you're going to be. I actually get excited during these times. I'm like so pro pandemic. It's not even funny. I'm all for thinning out
the
herd, getting rid of the flaky businesses.
Mm-hmm. The people aren't meant to be there.
The people that have lost interest, that are more focused on themselves than their customers, and, you know, the people that just aren't going to innovate and find their way through this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's people that'll just keep doing what they've been doing.
Because I can hear people going, fuck, is that me? Is that my business? Is that who we are? You know, the way I've been looking at it is, you know, we've been prepping for this for years. This really is a time to get organized, to get really, really disciplined, you know, to really, you know, pull it all out and you know, go for it, because there's going to be so many fucking opportunities there. Like, it's going to be bonkers.
Like there's a pretty easy test. Like I tell people, like, how many businesses do you manage? And most people just go one. And I'm like, it's going to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's two businesses you should be managing, right? The one you've got today and the one you're going to have tomorrow.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, if you're not looking at both those businesses right now, you're probably going to be part of that 25%.
Yeah. If you think how you behave today is going to get you through tomorrow, there's no way.
Or you think you're going to outwork it.
Yeah.
You're not going to outwork it.
It's funny because we were dealing with someone today that we were literally having that conversation.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Mills. We were literally having that conversation with a client that came in. And we'd spoke to them before, and they just about dragged themselves out of a really, really hairy, bad situation in terms of where their business was at. And they were very fucking lucky. My God, I remember Eric Hansen ringing us, going, "Dude, just don't go near it. It's absolutely fucked." And we advised them anyway and said, "Okay, do this. Speak to these guys. Don't talk to this person without this person doing the talking for you." And they came into us today and said, "Thank God you had that conversation." Mm-hmm. And now we're ready to rock and roll. But it was the same thing where we're saying to them, you cannot throw you at the problem, because you working your asshole off is not going to solve this problem. You know, you need to be able to work on the business of your business. You know, because the money's there, the contracts are there. It's always going to be there. It's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to go to the organized.
Absolutely. The money is expanding through it. Like, the money is actually, they printed more money. In terms of the amount of money in the economy, that's gone up.
Yeah.
The core values, the core needs of the marketplace, that doesn't disappear either.
Yeah.
That very seldom ever goes away. There's just new inventive ways in which to meet that need.
Yeah.
Like, you look at what happened with Blockbuster, it wasn't that, you know, the need to have home entertainment disappeared. It was just the way in which that was done that disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got to kind of meet those times. You know, that'd be one of the core ways of looking at your business, your current product or service. How disruptible is it?
Mm.
We've talked about this before, but like, just to remind people who are listening, if you're getting margin pressure in your business, meaning people are asking you to charge less and less and less, and you're having to give more and more and more to do that, which creates this margin pressure in your business, your industry is totally disruptible.
Yeah.
Because somebody is going to reinvent how that thing looks.
Mm. Mm. Well, we were just, again, back to the conversation we have with that chap today, you know, just one simple thing of, you know, they were going in and pricing work to get the work, they were undervaluing themselves. And he said, "Well, we're up against companies that have, you know, they're bigger companies, they've greater buying power." And I said, "But you just need to know how to frame that out when you talk to the client. Hey, Mr. Jones, you know, yeah, sure, you can go at those big companies, and you're going to be, they're huge, they've got massive overheads, and you're going to be one really, you know, you're going to be a number in there for sure. But with us, you know, you're going to get personal help. We're going to be there with you all the time. You're always going to have us on the other end of the phone. I mean, sure, we might be a little bit more over here, but we'll be able to balance it out over here." If you don't know how to do that, if you don't know how to technically talk to someone in terms of your business margins.
I think it's not even just technically talking to them. It's also about knowing that. Do you know what I mean? Like, if some people just literally don't get it. They think that this other person can provide something for less amount. So the only way to stay competitive is that. Literally are ignorant to the fact that that's not
how else can you get out
how
of it?
Else how else can I do it?
They don't realize that you just have, if you know that that's the problem you're walking into, you just need to have a really good frame that outframes that problem.
Mm-hmm. But in order to have the frame, you have to have the awareness that you can, that you do have an advantage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Some people just don't understand that you do have an advantage.
Yeah. And the advantage is knowing at its core what the customer really wants from you.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, when you're playing those price games and you're going in saying, "Hey, we're, you know, I can do less, or I can do this, or, you know, I've got to do it the same way they do it," it's because you don't really get what the customer really, really wants.
Yeah.
And so you're not able to improve on that model. So, like, at the end of the day, you know, if I'm talking to let's say a bookkeeper, and the bookkeeper goes, "Well, you know, my hourly rate is this and their hourly rate is that, and I've got to get this down, and our cost of doing this is," you know, it's like the customer doesn't actually want a bookkeeper. They believe they need a bookkeeper, but what they really want is to have more cash in their pocket.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you can go, "I'm going to reinvent, I'm going to rethink how I get them more cash in my pocket," you're not competing with those other people on price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, nobody even cares if you're a bookkeeper anymore. You can create an entirely new industry from that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how innovation happens in a marketplace anyway. Somebody comes up and goes, "What does the customer really want?
Yeah.
And what can I do to deliver that for
them?" Yeah, because a lot of the time what's happening is is that, you know, you're telling your customer, yeah, I can reduce this. Yeah, I can work harder over here. Yeah, I can give you a better guy. When you're not asking questions, go, you know, it's the old thing of, you know, to sell is not to tell, right? Mm. You got to ask questions. Ask the fucking questions. What does the client need? You know, and like, I would rather work with a boutique company than a massive conglomerate of companies. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather have the boutique service. And if you're a smaller business, just see yourself as the boutique service, you know? But the thing you got to do is go in and ask questions and tailor your pitch to what they want.
Like, to me, I don't care whether I work for the big guy or the small guy.
Right.
I want the guy that gets me the result mm-hmm. that I'm kind of after. So like, there's always this idea when I come shopping, there's this problem I have that I don't want.
Yeah.
Right. And there's this result I want that I don't have. And regardless of the structure of your business, whoever can meet those two things for me, that's going to be the one I go with.
Yeah.
And most people don't talk on that level. They don't talk about the problem you have and that you don't want. They don't talk about the result you're looking for that you don't have.
Yeah.
They talk about whether or not they're a bookkeeping company or they're a project company or electrical company and they talk about this thing without actually understanding those two other things within the client's mind.
The right.
client doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
They just want you to get rid of the problem and get them the result.
Yeah.
That's really all they want. If you can, like during times like this, most companies get out, the benefit in the market is most companies during times like this recognize that the current way in which that's happening is something they're not quite happy with. And if somebody's willing to come along and go, look, I'm going to reinvent this. I'm absolutely going to get rid of that problem and get you that result.
Right.
You don't care. As long as you can make me certain that's going to happen, you don't care how you do it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So thinking about this fact, the fact that you think that, you know, the pandemic is just starting for businesses in terms of the actual true effects that's going to be starting to be felt now or from now, what can people do? You know, what can businesses do? Have you got any tips that you can help so that they can navigate their way through this?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to break your business into maybe four different things, right? And you want to start to kind of focus. So most people really, they get away during good times with one of these four quadrants mm-hmm. and they're really good at that one. And because it's good times and there's enough business flowing and nobody's angry and nobody's thinking about the money, it's just really, really easy. And so one of the things you could do is just break your business in these four quadrants and go, right, how do I currently create awareness of my business, i.e. marketing? How do I create leads? Right? What are all my tactics for informing the market? And there's three different ways of informing, right? The one is you got to inform people of the problem you solve, right? Because the majority of the people that would be buyers have the problem, just aren't even aware that they have the problem. The second thing is once I'm aware I have a problem, you need to get past my objections to buying, right? So what is the reason I don't want to actually go solve that problem? Could it be money? Could it be time? Like, how are you dealing with that? And then finally is the comparison one. How do I know you're the best out mm-hmm. on the marketplace? How do I know that you're the safest in which to invest with, mm-hmm. right? So in terms of your awareness, are you really, really kind of getting all that? Most people, if they do anything, they have an ad that maybe covers one of those three, but it doesn't cover all of it. And so really kind of sitting down and working out, how does your marketing work right now? And how's my marketing need to work to get me through this next faction? The next thing you're going to want to do is you're going to know how to convert all of that attention into actual sales. So you want to, you know, do you have people that do that right now? Do you have other options? Do you have downsell options, cross-sell options, mm-hmm. upsell options? You know, how are you getting the most out of that person when they're ready to buy? You know, do you have one product right now that is your product and is high end and you're leaving a lot of money on the table? Or do you have a downsell option so you can grab them now, build up trust, and then upsell them later? The next part of your business that you have to work on is your capacity, mm-hmm. your capacity to deliver. And that's your people, your processes, but that's also finances and expenses and making sure you have enough margin and making sure that you're covering all that, right? There is no mission. You won't have a mission without a margin. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have, you know, you're not going to fulfill your purpose without a profit. And all of that is the management of the systems and making things more efficient and scalable from that end. And then finally is the one we talked about before is your product or service. Mm-hmm. You've got two products. You've got the one you have today that you got to manage and you got to maximize. But you've also got to be thinking about the one that's coming tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And how are you going to take advantage of that? you know, what should you be looking at? And I know when people hear me say that, they think it's, I'm talking about it's this massive game-changing thing. Usually it's a bunch of just small adjustments over time that mm-hmm. lead. And if you can kind of keep mm-hmm. adjusting mm-hmm. small mm-hmm. over time, you can stay ahead of the curve. Mm. You know, often what we see is an industry that's not doing that, and then somebody comes in who has really rethought the whole thing, and that looks like the big change, but really it was just a bunch of small things that failed to happen during the life cycle of that industry.
Mm. So marketing, sales.
So marketing or awareness, conversion or orders, capacity, your people, your efficiency in operations, and then your product or service.
Devil's advocate here, wouldn't people have been thinking about those things already?
No, we're naturally geared to work harder on the one we're good at.
Right.
So if you're really a relationships person, you find it easy to kind of, you know, convince people to buy, that'll be where you want to spend your time. You're like, right. Hey, I'm just going to work harder in this area. And what's going to limit you is the fact that you haven't got the capacity to deliver.
Right,
and
I get it.
So as we scale up and as those 25% of businesses drop off and more people start to flood to you, to your natural strength, you actually haven't got the ability to help them anyway, so you leave money on the table.
Right.
And like we had this conversation, and like, you know, the client may absolutely want to work with you, but they don't want to wait the 6 months it'll take to be with you, so they'll go spend their money somewhere else.
Right. So people have their strengths, or like the leaders of the business will have their strengths in certain areas, and they'll think that if I do more of that, that's going to get me through this next phase.
And you won't be able to capitalize on that market opportunity that you had because you didn't have the capacity in which to deliver to it.
So how do people go about getting those other elements? Do they have to hire? Do they have to get advice? How would you recommend that? How would you recommend seeing what you can't actually see?
So one of the things I think when you break your business in the four quadrants, you just give yourself a simple rating exercise and go, honestly, how am I doing in this area? Do I have lots of leads? Give yourself a score.
You got to be really honest with yourself.
Yeah, 1 to 10. We have tons of leads. You know, do we get a lot of attention? Does everybody already know who we are when we walk out there? Just really evaluate yourself in those four quadrants. And wherever you're weakest, and being honest about where your weakness, that's where you want to go find a mentor who's strong. You want to go find somebody who's absolutely strong in that area to advise you. Mm-hmm. You're not likely to be able to fix it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard for you, for one, because you've never really thought about your business in that way. And number two, the strength, you don't want to take away the strength the business has. So if you're like, say, in the person we were talking about, you know, they were 8 out of 10 in terms of conversion. You don't want to take away your business's strengths and go focus on a 3 out of 10 area where they're weak.
Fair. Oh yeah, that's cool. So do you feel like people can actually? Do you feel like that exercise helps people to actually see truthfully what they're missing?
It's certainly helped me. I used to do a lot of like, you know, internal audits, like 162 questions of evaluating everything, and they just become daunting.
Yeah.
And then you don't know what to do with the information when it gets to the end. Whereas this mm-hmm. exercise mm-hmm. is really, really simple. It kind of points out where your limitation is right away, and then you can seek help in that area. So if that's not your strength, you just seek help and go, right.
So you're saying that then that people got through because they, like, even in terms of what's happened now, because people were bailed out in some cases, but they also got through because they just did more of what they were good at. Yeah. So in order to this is just any business, in order for it to grow, in order for it to move, in order for it to have a shift in terms of its trajectory in some way, it needs to have these elements.
100%. I think people think about growing their business. Like, you don't have to grow your business. The growth is naturally already in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. You have to remove the limitations to that growth.
Yes.
That's what you have to do. So, and these quadrants, what I love about that is you're not looking at how do I use this to make more money? You go, what's keeping me from earning more money now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it the fact that people just don't know who I am?
Yeah.
Is it the fact that I struggle to convert them when I do have them in front of me? Is it that I struggle to deliver? Is it that my product or service isn't as good as it used to be?
Right. Yeah. So it's like we talk a lot about when we were talking about, you know, the recessions and the booms and the different times.
Yep.
The recessions and the times where they're necessary in business because they send us back to what we love.
Mm.
They send us back to what's important. They send us back to what we're good at.
Because
in the boom time, everyone's just doing everything. They think that, you know, the chiropractor will go think he's a property developer or go into shares or do all sorts of other things because, it, you know, it's booming. But when it's recession time, we get sent back to what's real, what's important for us. And you're saying that this is that, but also go and find the people who do, who have the other skills, bring them around you. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, everything shifts.
Yeah,
we're not going to be able to do what we thought we could do for like 3 years ago. Everything's changed.
And it won't be as hard as it's been in the past. Mm-hmm. We live in the gig economy now where people are sharing resources and you can connect with people halfway across the world if they're strong. We used to have to be, you used to have to find a way to hire somebody and you had to have the talent in your local talent pool. You don't have to have that anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can find other ways of bringing this skill set mm-hmm. into your mm-hmm. business. So I really think it's like the greatest opportunity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like that, looking at it as an opportunity and then going and finding where you need that little bit of extra.
Well, it's kind of – you have no option. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to look at it as, holy shit, I'm going to sink. You've got to look at it as an opportunity to be able to get your product and service out there. You know, you got to look at it as if, you know, nothing's missing. Everything you need around you to do that is there. It's mm-hmm. around you. You just got to tune into it and find out what you need. Mm-hmm. Be really honest with yourself. Work out what you can't do. Work out what you can delegate. And work out what you can do.
I like that.
I think it's worth noting for people that are kind of skeptical at this point. And I forget the exact number, but it's close to 50%, even more maybe, mm-hmm. of the ASX 100 biggest companies were born during a recession or a depression.
Mm, mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, so it's just a crazy, crazy number yep. of
more millionaires big created in those time periods.
During times like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. That was cool.
Opportunity.
That's good.
Cool.
Bring on the pandemic, everybody.
I look forward to them.
Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.